Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of, actually, first edition in a while. Apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Shit has been going down in the real world. Just bills and work. And one day we'll be able to really, really, as you see a lot of the podcasts out there, it's going nonstop, sponsors, stuff like that. Right now, we're at the age where we gotta grind, and that's all we do, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. This is the Blade Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter. All sorts of exciting news going on, and we will cover it all from March Madness to the mixed martial arts world and the craziness that could be UFC. And why I think it's the ballsiest move of all time. On tonight's show, while I'm sitting in Florida looking at raindrops, drinking some crisp Pinot Grigio at a Gatorade bottle, I think an American Fighting System workout in my gym, and then I snuck a little wine in for the show because, for the first time ever, I do not have a cigar on the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm starting to feel the real effect of tobacco abuse, and it is a bitch. I gotta give my co-host credit for that. It is the co-host with the most. Yes, one day, back a long time ago, he told a Big Ten man named Jay, last name Leno, have the spot in the chair, buddy, because I'm going on to bigger and better things. He's the best co-host. He is the man who invented toast. He is the man who told whoever the director was that the little kid in that movie with the dude from Die Hard that he would originally become a ghost. What the fuck am I talking about? It doesn't matter because he's like Anderson Silva or Hickson Gracie. He's the GOAT. It don't matter. He's better than the documentary Choke. Check it out on YouTube. Plus the fact he's got news crews following him around Rochester. He is the man. He is better. Pussy ass cheddar. He is Mr. Nick Diaz. Middle fingers up. Don't give a fuck. Slap your mama in the butt. Boss rooting hands. Hit right in the motherfucking nuts, King of Pancras himself, Andrew Merritt, a.k.a. Percy Love. What's up, homie?
Yo, what it do? Very excited to be back on the show. Keep 100. It's been a rough week for your boy. I got the good old Rochester flu. An entire work. Thank God for sick days and PTO. Because your boy still gets paid, even though he missed it. But, you know, it's been rough up here in that frozen tundra. The weather's finally breaking. But, Ryan, there's something I must say. You know, being sick and missing work, you know, I couldn't have picked a better time to get the flu. Just because, you know, these last 2 days I've just gone to chill and watch basketball. But, I mean, Ryan, let's keep it 100 with the March Madness app. With smartphones and everything, even if I was at work, I was going to be watching basketball all day. Hope no one from Paychex is listening, but I'm just keeping it 100, like the weather in Tallahassee. But Ryan, I am doing good. Not only do we have all these mega, folks. I was outside doing something a little illegal one time, so I ran right back in my apartment. But anyways, Ryan, furthermore, moving on.
I got to keep it 100. I didn't even do a bracket this year.
Oh, my. You know, Ryan, it's weird. I hardly followed college ball this year.
I'm not following it at all.
I'll tell you this, Ryan. This tournament, I have never seen anything like this before in my life. First time ever in tournament history where we see a 13 seed, a 14 seed, and a 15 seed all advance the same day. Everyone's bracket's been busted. Michigan State goes down. Freaking Yale beats Baylor. This has been insane. You know,
but this shows you why I'm not going to say I love March Madness. If I would have done a bracket, I probably would be a lot more interested. I was going through some shit, and all of a sudden I didn't fill out a bracket for the first time in like 10 years. I didn't watch a lick of basketball. Well, NBA, of course, but not a lick of college basketball this year. At all. I mean, I didn't watch one fucking game. I just did not care about it. And here's what it comes down to. I'm not even going to get, like, all righteous and go on a big, rant, Stephen A. Smith rant. I'm just going to say, like, if this tournament had Okafor and Winslow and the guys from last year in it, coming back for their last year, you know, if it was a, as my co-host talked about half the long, if they had the guys from last year trying to repeat, the Kentucky boys, you know, coming back even more loaded, fighting for positions, just trying to see who really is the best player. Russell out there on Ohio State, picture how good he would be on that team, which I don't even know what Ohio State's doing this year, but just picture how good they would be.
They're in NIT.
But just picture them with Russell. Anyway, like, if it was two and done, it would make it just one more year. It would make it so much better. Imagine watching Okafor play with homeboy from Duke this year. I mean, with Winslow, it would be
Okafor
amazing.
And Ingram.
Yeah, to me, Winslow and Ingram. I mean, what a pair that could be with Okafor.
And Okafor, oh my God,
and Plumlee down low. I mean, it would be crazy. And to me, the reason why these smaller seeds are winning, because they have seniors and stuff on their team. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Dummies got the basketball, which, it's going to start, with all these freshmen to start picking the older teams. Let's see the team with the most seniors. Eventually, the better talent usually wins out, but it takes a while. But really, to me, Andrew, the one thing that turns me off of it, and I'm sure, as I said, if I had a bracket, I would be more into it, it's sloppy basketball. My dad says it's because they have better defensive rules, the rules that the NBA used to have where you could play a little harder defense. I don't know if that's truly it. I think it's because point guards can't hit fucking free throws. I mean, come on. I mean, their point guards in the NCAA are shooting like Dwight Howard. I mean, it's just bad. I just see a lot of sloppy basketball. And as a guy who watches a lot of NBA, it's hard for me to translate. But I think I'm the only person on the planet right now shitting on March Madness because I'm sour over here.
This has been the best March Madness I've ever seen in my life.
So not a bracket. I do get,
Ryan, I guess I got to agree with a lot of things you say. I mean, that's why I like the NBA playoffs better, because you can appreciate the greatness. I'm kind of with you. I think why we see better offense in the NBA is just because, I mean, the number of players has been dwindled down so much. You know what I mean? You got to be legit to make it in the NBA.
Oh, and teams have to play together for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how Golden State plays. It's the thing of beauty.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I'm with you. I do have to agree. It is sloppy. And then this year, there aren't those exciting freshmen. I think that hurts as well. When you see the likes of a Ben Simmons, couldn't get LSU into the playoffs. I mean, you got Ingram, he's excited. But a lot of these teams in general are senior-laden teams. And then you see, Michigan State, led by the senior Valentine, everyone expected them to win it all, getting their butts kicked. They didn't even
lose, Ryan.
UNC, they did win their first game. They got a tough game tomorrow against Butler, but they're looking good too. All I have to say is, to wrap up the March Madness talk, Ryan, I'm with you. I didn't watch much college basketball this year. I'm a diehard Florida State fan. People know that. And Leonard Hamilton probably did the worst job ever. And there's going
to
be at least two first-round draft picks in the NBA. on this team. And if you're telling me that a college team with two first-round NBA draft picks can't even make it past the second round of the NIT, so that kind of turned me off. But I will
I'm going to tell you who should get the Florida State job.
All right, but I will say this, to put a bow on the March Madness, folks, I just watched the game where Northern Iowa knocked off Texas on a half-court buzzer beater. This has probably been the best opening round that I can remember. Now, granted, Ryan, will it play out like last year where we saw some of the best games we'd ever seen in the tournament, in my opinion, with the Kentucky Notre Dame, Kentucky Wisconsin, Wisconsin Arizona, and of course Wisconsin Duke. Those are some of the greatest games I feel like I've ever watched in the tournament with the talent. But opening round with the upsets, the close games, this has been the best opening round.
But isn't
that
doesn't every year seem like it's the best year? I feel like I hear that.
This is the first year that a 13, 14, and 15 seed have all advanced. The upsets are crazy this year, Ryan. And I think, again, you know, you're on it. This was a doubt. Like, last year, there were a lot of dominant, you know, one and doneers or whatnot. I feel like the overall talent, I'm right with you. I don't think it is as high as it was
last year. Last
year
was a special draft.
There's a lot of talent.
If there was a one-day NBA Madness or like a week-long March Madness with every team in the NBA and it was a one-game elimination, let's say random seeding. We don't have time to seed it. Random seeding, just overall one game. The team you would think would win if there was one game on the line and had to go through a whole tournament.
I
guess it would be 32 teams.
I think we all know the answer to that, Ryan, and of course it'd be the Atlanta Hawks. No, we all know Golden State. We all know Golden State. You know Golden State.
Yeah, the Spurs with Leonard and Green's lockdown ability. It would be tough.
Them against Golden State, and Ryan, that's one thing that I do have to say the difference is, and this is why I love March Madness. It's probably my third or fourth favorite, like, big-time playoff event.
Oh, behind Rugby 7, Las Vegas, right?
In the NBA, though, the better team wins the series.
The
great thing about college, it's the better team that day. But, got the hiccups. Gets away, Ryan.
All right. Basically, I was going to say, you know, there's two shining gems in the NCAA, and one of them is not even in the tournament right now. And, you know, then the third shining gem, of course, is some huge European that is not even playing in NCAA once again. I mean, it's a system that's crying out. Like, half these kids that are going into the NBA aren't even going to go back to school. They don't have to finish classes. I mean, it's a waste of tax dollars. That's the only thing. I'm not trying to piss on y'all's party, people. I'll probably start watching it soon, fill out a late bracket or something. But I got to say, gambling is what makes March Madness special, in my opinion. Or having a 9-to-5 job, getting sick, and being able to watch basketball all day. That's probably something you rarely get to do. And when you do, think about it. How many people call in sick and then they drink all day, watch March Madness? It's almost like a holiday. It's something special. I just wish that there would be a couple of changes. But I'm not going to piss on it too much because it's an American pastime. Speaking of an American pastime, Andrew, are you ready to talk a little UFC?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get into those. First, let me touch on the biggest rumor today, because we are an up-to-date podcast. Something like this breaks on a day that we do our podcast at the rarity we've been doing them. We have to touch on it. So it's almost confirmed, and it seems like UFC 200 has, like, five title fights right now. I don't know if it's going to be the longest card ever. I don't know what the I don't know if GSP is fighting an alien. I don't know what's going on. There's so many fucking rumors. But it seems like it was almost confirmed, but I feel like I've seen 5 or 6 matchups confirmed in a span of like 2 days. Who knows how loosely these matchups are confirmed or not. But it seems legit. Conor McGregor is taking the boldest move, in my opinion, in MMA history.
Yeah.
That's right, haters. All right, let's put the cap on, because a lot of M fans have retard caps.
Conor McGregor's not going back to 145. He must be scared of him.
All right, what's more scary? Going down to a weight class, which that cut is probably pretty scary, but going down to a weight class where you clearly have the physical advantage and you could dominate people, but you have a bland, stupid character, and I'm sorry, Frankie Edgar, grow a motherfucking personality. You want big fights. You can't just be a great fighter these days. Occasionally, you fall into the right fight. You have to sell fights. That's part of the game. Conor McGregor talks about it all the time. Why should Conor McGregor have to carry your sorry ass through a pay-per-view while you just sit there and mumble into a mic like you're Robbie Lawler 2.0? But Robbie Lawler is actually entertaining in the octagon. You just get dudes pregnant in the octagon. Throw that one out to Matt Mitrione calling out someone in Bellator. Yeah, Frankie Edgar, all you're doing is in the octagon, laying on top of him for 25 minutes. All I got to say is, all you people saying Conor McGregor is dodging someone, he took the scariest possible route if this rumor is true. If Conor McGregor is fighting Nate Diaz, which the guy who just beat him in the second round, and, I mean, he dominated Nate throughout the fight, that at the end it seemed like easy fashion, at the weight class, which everyone said he should never fight at again, that's the biggest balls in MMA history. Now, Andrew, do you think the rumors that Conor McGregor threw the fight to make this second fight the biggest of all time? Because if you're going to throw a fight, you're going to get submitted. Everyone always says that in MMA, like, why get knocked out when you could just tap out? And the way, I mean, it was like Conor dominated and then, oh, the gas tank. If I was going to throw a fight, I would make it last longer, but that's how I would throw a fight if I was a fighter. But do you think this is what the doctor ordered? Just picture the world tour, Nate Diaz, Conor. Do you think this is a smart move for Conor? Do you think his body just, I mean, I know I'm asking a lot of questions, but do you think his body can't handle 145 anymore and he's going to eventually drop that table? It's obvious to me that he's never going back down to 145. So just kind of absorb all that and throw it back at me, dog.
Firstly, I do have to, tip my cap to Ryan. You were the very first to say, I don't think Conor will go back to 145 because of the cut. And, so far it's showing that way. I don't know. I think we could eventually see him at 145. And if the rumors are true at UFC 200 and he is going to go back down, we need to have a Frankie Edgar, Jose Aldo matchup, and the winner could fight Conor if he does want to come back down. As far as throwing the fight, again, I do not think Conor threw the fight at all. I don't think that's in his blood at all.
Yeah.
He's throwing to win it. I just think, taking the fight on 2 weeks, because everyone's like, oh, Nate Diaz took the fight on 2 weeks. Well, guess what? So did Conor McGregor. And he went up another 15 pounds. I feel like the game plan he had
huge
implemented.
Weight gain. Huge weight gain and huge change of a game plan.
Huge change of a game plan.
He probably didn't practice striking at all going up to the dose.
No. No, you got to be ready for the takedown. So
his body
think,
looked like a wrestler's body.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see a different game plan and whatnot. But him taking this fight, people scared he's ducking someone. No, this is the first time he took the fight was one of the craziest moves in MMA history, I'll say. The second one is even crazier. we're looking at one fighter that has probably made the two most boldest moves in the sport. Now, I think it's smart for Conor if he wants to get that mystique back as far as him being able to win the 170. Hey, Summer 16, like Greg said, happened in July. Looking for revenge all Summer 16. And Conor, Nate, World Tour Ryan, hit the nail on the head, because the biggest shame about that fight was we didn't get a chance for them.
Promotion was great, but it wasn't enough. We wanted
it
more.
It wasn't enough.
And it was an awesome fight.
It was one of the best.
It was a great fight.
It was one of the best, Ryan. And so going on.
In shape, both of them fighting. How much better
it was. It's going to be a classic. And these are two guys that are going to show up to fight. The two guys that, you know, don't pull out and train dumb. So all in all, I got to say, this rematch is going down. This is probably the fight I am without a doubt the most excited for from watching any fights. I don't think he's ducking anyone with Frankie Edgar. You know, Ryan hit the nail on the head. I don't think Frankie is a super boring fighter, but you can't be boring like that in the press conferences.
Dude, watch his fights against Benson and BJ and then come back.
Those weren't the best, but then, you know, the Cub Swanson
was boring fight to me, but he did have an exciting. Well, I mean, it was an example
Mendez.
Of top position. He had the awesome trilogy with Gray Maynard. I mean, I always.
Yeah, that was one of the best trilogies.
I mean, he's either knocking motherfuckers out or he's going to wrestle fuck you.
Like,
I mean, there's two ways to it.
I just don't understand how Frankie can be so quiet about it and not put
he's not quiet.
On Dana.
He's calling out the UFC. Yeah, he's calling out the UFC. But the thing is, Nate Diaz at the UFC now. You see, like, how much bigger Nate has gotten since he beat Conor. And it's always first-page news. Frankie Edgar does it, and it's barely, like, if you go on Bleacher Report's mobile app, barely on, like, the Twitter timelines. You know how they have, like, the articles and the little Twitter feeds? Barely have that, like, you have a story, and then underneath it's like, oh, Frankie Edgar said Conor McGregor's a pussy. Like, nobody cares what Frankie Edgar says. I'm sorry, he's a great, maybe one of the greatest lightweights of all time. And with his featherweight credentials, you got to throw that in there, too. But he does not sell fights. Let me tell you what does sell fights. The fact that Nate Diaz is going to be talking all sorts of shit in Conor McGregor's face about how he choked his ass out in the second round. He looked like a Calabasso surfer fat boy because he wasn't even training because he could beat Conor so easily because he's a real mixed martial artist. That's what's going to sell a fucking fight, and that's what Nate Diaz said after the fight. I look like a fat surfer from Calabasas out there. I'm just a better martial artist. Now, Andrew, looking at the World Tour, it's going to be awesome. The Irish fans are going to show back up. Conor has to win this fight. I think it's a must win. But we were superior confident. Like, we're the most confident, I think, for guys to do a show, most guys try to say non-biased that I'm going to root for guys that like
him. We didn't claim to get a tattoo. That was
crazy. And I got to say, after that night, I did say that I would never root for a fighter again. Like, I would never... I'm going to root for him, but I will never invest my heart so much in a fighter again. But I'm going to do it one more time. It's human nature, but some guys don't. Like Joe Rogan, maybe he does secretly, but he claims he got his heart broken when he was like 16, watching his favorite boxer get knocked out in the first round by a kidney shot in 30 seconds in, and he just never rooted for a fighter again. I could see that because I keep getting my heart broken over and over, and I was done after the Conor fight. I said, fuck it. I could see him losing to Frankie, blah, 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 because Frankie will try to impregnate him. But if he fights Nate, I have my opinion on it. I always thought Conor trained the most smartly for an MMA fighter. But now looking at it, the way I don't know if he was overly cocky or he, like Nate said, Nate has a better training camp, but he fought so stupidly in that fight do you think Conor McGregor can beat Nate Diaz, a fully trained Nate Diaz?
I do, Ryan. Number one, we all saw that velocity that Conor was throwing with. And
Conor,
I mean,
beat Nate Diaz's ass for a long time.
He couldn't land. He was beating him down, and it finally happened. You know, I think Conor gasped. He was throwing with so much velocity. And, I mean, Conor was the first to say it. I don't think it was a cop-out or anything. He was
I don't think Conor thought Nate could hurt him. And then Nate did that pity-patty, like, Diaz.
Just stopped and slapped. And, you know, what we've seen him grow on, slipping in that powerful one when you think it's only going to be 60%. And also, I think Conor didn't think Nate was going to be able to take all those shots. And you could kind of see him gasp.
And
I definitely know Conor is going to have a different game plan. He's going to be fighting a lot better, a lot smarter. He's going to know what he's about to tangle with. If he does lose this fight, Ryan, I definitely think he can beat him. I mean, Conor's just too damn talented, Ryan. But, you know, if he does lose this, that's probably going to end any discussion of him, you know, fighting at 170 again or whatnot. But, you know, you did say this is a must-win. So, two-part question, Ryan. Question number one, Conor, why is this a must-win for Conor? What is the fallout if he loses? And then, you know, to the haters that are complaining about this tying up the 145-pound division, I don't think it does, because people are still arguing over who the true number one contender is. So I feel like in this time, you can not only establish a true number one contender, but have him built up enough steam as to where, you know what I mean, people are going to be genuinely very excited to watch it. Because could you imagine if he fought a Frankie after he beat Aldo? I'm sorry, if Conor just turned around and fought Jose Aldo at UFC 200, that's a letdown. So what do you think? Why is this a must-win for Conor? And what's going to happen, you know, to progress the 145-pound division if Conor comes back or if not? So just let me get some answers to that, my brother.
All right, let me start with 145. How about you pussies start fighting? Like, stop talking about who's going to get to fight Conor McGregor. I know you all want that meal fucking ticket. But when's the last time you saw a top 10, 155-pound fucking fight? Max Holloway's been motherfucking begging for a fight on the interstate here in Tallahassee. He's got to stop saying, somebody please find me a top 10 fighter to fight. They're all waiting for Conor McGregor. Like, Jesus Christ. You even got boxers coming out around Conor's waist trying to fight him. Like, guys, let's get together here, Frankie. Let's think it through. I know you're very slow when you're from New Jersey and you can't talk on a mic. But hey, buddy. Hey, Jose Aldo. I know you like to talk on Twitter with your little fingernails you just got done at the salon. But hey, buddy, how about you and Frankie Edgar fight at UFC 200, maybe the third main event or the fourth main event in the biggest pay-per-view ever? It could be an interim title. Or it could just be a number one contender fight for that fight you both want so bad, but we know Jose really doesn't want it. And how about y'all just get fucking busy? How about Frankie Edgar main events a Fox card against Max Holloway? Because Max Holloway is so fucking talented. Smashes him and then fights Jose Aldo. Why don't you just keep fighting, making money? You don't see Conor McGregor staying stale. If Nate Diaz said, I'm not going to fight Conor McGregor, do you think Conor McGregor would say, well, I'm not going to fight then. I'm not going to fight anymore. Are you guys serious? Are you real fighters? Because one fighter, I know he's the champion. I know he's the champion. If a champion like Cain Velasquez, who was hurt for 2 years, is out, did the heavyweight division stop? No. They kept fighting. They all kept fighting. I mean, the heavyweight division, they've fought in each other so much, pretty much they know each other's moves. It's like Roy Nelson throws a right, Travis Brown ducks, and then he goes under, and he gets the underhook. He throws a knee, and then Roy Nelson falls down. And then the fight's over, and then Travis Brown gets knocked out by Rosswell, and then Rosswell gets knocked out by Overeem. They all know each other. It's just so, I mean, it's just happened. I mean, Jose Aldo once went 2 years without defending his title. He bellyached, and that's a real stat that I read today. He was injured. Nobody bellyached. So shut the fuck up. It might happen. Conor might never fight Frankie Edgar. Get over it. You might be the 145-pound champ soon, Frankie Edgar. So get fucking active, you stupid-ass New Jersey hillbilly. Now, let me move on. Why is this
so much mad at Frankie Edgar?
Yeah, he
that
just
was an epic
me off.
That was an
be fucking active. Like, I'm tired of people talking on Twitter and not talking in the octagon. I feel like I should be in the octagon because none of these guys are fighting. But,
yeah.
I mean, they're talking more than we talk on Twitter. Jose Aldo getting his motherfucking nails done in Brazil. Let me send out this tweet, guys. I'm going to talk shit about McGregor today. Ooh, Jose, don't do it. Shut
Ryan,
the fuck up, Jose Aldo. You got knocked down 13 seconds. Hold on. Let me answer this. Conor McGregor. Let me answer this. Why is this a must-win? This is a must-win because, one, you can't get Stockton slapped twice in a row. You can't.
Yeah.
In your face, beating your ass twice in a row as a man. I don't think Conor McGregor as a man can bounce back from getting Nate Diaz with his motherfucking pubic hair on his chin, motherfucking staring you down with his gut hanging out like he's not a Tabasco motherfucking surfer, but somehow he's a Mexican gangbanger at the same time, just throwing up gang signs and slapping you in the face as he's fighting you. You can't get your ass beat like that twice in a row. I don't care how epic the second fight is. The first fight will always be a second round submission. And the fact is, Conor McGregor built his mystique knocking motherfuckers out and talking shit. It's hard to talk shit when you get your ass beat twice in a row. It's hard to come into the next fight like, yo, I'm the greatest. I'm going to knock this motherfucker out in the first round. I know other fighters have bounced back from two losses in a row, but when you're Conor McGregor and you have that swagger, which I do have a spelled out definition of Conor swagger. I won't go through that. We don't have the time. But, like, I mean, but it's about his fighting style. I know. I'm a big Conor fan. When you have that swagger, you can't afford to lose. And if you always can drop that back down. But that's become Conor's excuse to go around and lose other fights. I don't want him to become the new BJ Penn. BJ spent his career, everyone knew he was the best 155-pounder. He dominated when he fought there. But he always kept trying to go up different weight classes. He fought Lloyd Machida at fucking heavyweight, and Machida was fat as fuck. Go watch the video. It was embarrassing. That's BJ Penn. And I don't want Conor McGregor to become that. So either go back to 145 or nut up, act like you have an IQ like you do in the ring, and beat Diaz's ass and come back and be the motherfucking champion that you are, because none of us want to watch you lose twice in a row. You will not be Mystic Mac anymore. You will be a motherfucking Big Mac sandwich from McDonald's, motherfucker.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. I love it. This is that raw. This is that raw uncut shit, folks. And I got to say, I'm loving it.
Uncut.
Straight from Colombia. And it's true, right? And I mean, to further touch on it more, I mean, you could even argue the point that, you know, Conor, a guy who is broken his opponents, you know, throughout the year, and that's something, you know, he thrives off of. You could say he got mentally broken that fight when, you know, he got rocked. He tried to go for the shot and whatnot, kind of screwed up his game plan.
He became a wrestler.
Right. You know, he brought it up. But, Ryan, I got to touch on this. So, you know, it's finally official. I cannot stand Jose Aldo. I will never root for that man again. It's to the point where I don't even want him to get a chance to fight Conor again. I don't ever want him to fight in the UFC again. So, as a fighter, I have never seen, you know, and I was thinking about it too, you know, as a professional fighter, I don't understand how you can celebrate in, you know, your rival's loss when that man knocked you out in 13 seconds.
Bam.
Someone else beat him. And then you're going to say he has pillows fists, the Cinderella tail
so
is
what,
over.
What do you have?
You're
going to
say
thing?
It's Brazil. He further, he was like, this is a national holiday in Brazil with Conor losing, da-da-da. I mean, how...
So is it a mourning day,
fighter,
the day he knocked out Aldo?
How, Ryan, how is a fighter, a guy you lost to, how do you have enough respect for yourself? How do you have, like, I just don't understand how you can celebrate in another man's defeat. Wouldn't you want him to keep winning? Like, oh, yeah, he's not that great. He got knocked out. Well, yeah, but he knocked you out in 13 seconds. I don't get it.
There's a simple explanation for this. I smell it. What does this smell like?
Pussy.
It smells like something a female would do. This is some pitiful shit a female would do. This is some Misha Tate shit. This sounds like some Misha... Did Misha Tate hack Jose Aldo's Twitter after she won the title to fuck with people? I mean, this sounds like what she would do to Ronda. So my theory here is, motherfucking Jose Aldo grew a pair of cuds. He got off the steroids. This motherfucker got a pussy and some tits, and that's why he doesn't want to fight anymore. Because he's got to get back on the steroids before he fights Conor. He knows he'll get drug tested, and he doesn't want anyone to see his booty shorts, his tits, and his motherfucking pussy that he's supporting around Brazil while he's getting his nails done and tweeting about Conor McGregor, because he took so much steroids for 10 years when the UFC wasn't testing that motherfucker was juiced to the motherfucking gills. Look at the before and after body shots and the way his motherfucking face changed identifications. It looked like Ronnie Coleman before. Now it looks like a motherfucking towel boy on the sideline for FSU. That motherfucker got small. So, yeah, Jose Aldo, he's full of estrogen right now. That motherfucker's got no testosterone. So all he's doing is tweeting. I saw him tweet out to motherfucking J.C. Penney's the other day talking about he needs some new underwear, some lingerie and shit. This motherfucker is a tweetaholic. He's getting new shopping bags and everything. He replaced his gold chain with a motherfucking bra and motherfucking, let's see. He changed his name
some
to James. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, you know, he got some high heels. He got some lipstick. He went on Twitter. Look at the new picture, ladies and gentlemen. He became a motherfucking girl. That's what happened. He's not
Yo,
a motherfucking
Ryan.
Fighter. He's not a warrior. He's a fucking girl. And he beat up on a bunch of bums in the WEC for 10 years. Let's stop pretending like he was in the UFC for motherfucking 10 years. He wasn't. He beat Uriah Faber, who weighs 115 pounds right now. That was his biggest win. Everyone shut the fuck up about how good Jose Aldo was. Motherfucker couldn't last 13 seconds with the best featherweight. Let's think.
That's
Hello,
face.
Fist.
Real quick. That's a great
therapeutic
point you brought up,
motherfucking
though.
Face.
That's a great point you brought
looking
up,
looking like
though.
Freddy Krueger.
Oh,
motherfucker
man.
Looks like
that's
Freddy Krueger right now.
But, yo, you brought up a great point, and it's something I didn't even really think about until now. You know, we've heard the past stories of some of the stuff that Jose is pulled in regards to his drug testing. And, Ryan, let's keep it 100. It's not even close. He was nowhere as close to as strong, athletic, explosive when he got to the UFC from the WEC. I mean, I just got to say, in a sport in mixed martial arts where you have to, you know, not be dumb, why should I say? You can't, I mean, it's, you know, people are cheating. You know, you can't turn a blind eye. You can't expect people to have, you know, you got to kind of be a conspiracy theorist. You can't be ignorant to the stuff going on.
Everyone.
That
everyone
explains it. That explains
yeah.
it. He had, I mean, for someone just to drop off like that.
Hey,
you know,
if Joe Rogan's gonna get caught on audio, if he's gonna get caught on audio saying, I know Aldo got off the roids, and then he has to apologize about it. Come on, if that motherfucker
was definitely on some roids,
he's the closest to anybody. You know, he sees every fight up close and every way in. But go on, I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna have to say, you know, I mean, I'm finally realizing this myself, but he had to be on something in the WEC that he wasn't allowed to take in the UFC, and you saw it further as the
no, and not only that, but the UFC this year started their Olympic testing, which is if you are in Las Vegas, it doesn't matter if it's for a UFC event, if you have to give them 3 addresses that they can show up to. And Donald Cerrone, this happened to him. He was in Las Vegas for a fight, and they showed up in Texas, the Olympic Drug Testing Committee. When they showed up for Jose Aldo and for Donald Cerrone, they showed up and he wasn't there. So they gave him a 12-hour, you must send us a drug test, like you must take the drug test in front of us type of thing, or you will be penalized. If you don't show up in a certain amount of time, or there's other officials around that you could take a drug test in front of, then you will fail a steroids test. Jose Aldo called the police on these people when they showed up in Brazil and claimed they were trespassers. Look it up. It's a real story. I'm not even joking. Then his pee, like this motherfucker can't carry a little bottle. Maybe he is that shaken, and he looks like he's been through more battles than motherfucking Muhammad Ali after that Chad Mendes fight.
Looks like one of my Vic's pit bulls.
For real, dude. That motherfucker went from Scarface to where are your face, motherfucker? That shit looks like it's non-existent. Jesus Christ. But I'm just saying, he's shaking. He's shaking like he's got some cotton fever. Let's be fucking real here. Most people know that is a parental advisory. Advise. But what I'm saying is Jose Aldo, he called the police on these people. And the UFC started this drug testing this year, and that's why guys like Chael Sonnen retired. That's why Vitor Belfort has a dad body right now. He looks like if you look up pictures of him right now, he's pulling up at the beach with 4 kids. This motherfucker didn't look human 2 years ago. He was wheel-kicking Luke Rockhold and knocking his fucking face off. Did you look up
Luke
pictures?
Luke Rockhold turned into. Jesus.
Pull up pictures of Vitor Belfort in that fight. Luke Rockhold looks at him like, I'm not fighting you. Are you fucking kidding me? You don't look human. He did not look human. He was on so much Mexican steroids, he could have went up to the moon if he wanted to. He could have gotten into the sky and flew up to the moon. The UFC did not give a fuck about drug testing before, unless it was in Nevada, and that was barely, like, anyone could pass a drug test. Like, Andrew, we've been drug tested. There's always ways around it. If you're a professional athlete with millions of dollars or thousands of dollars, whatever, you're going to find a way to pass it. But when dudes are showing up in your hometown, when you're at a UFC-sponsored event and telling you you have 12 hours to take a piss test, I'm sorry, there's no way around it anymore. You got to be clean. And that's why we're seeing the cheaters and the dudes who can't even wear white beaters anymore get exposed.
2 minutes.
Because all these dudes who are on steroids are starting to look like they got dad by me.
1 minute warning.
AKA Jose Aldo, Vitor Belfort, and all these other fakes.
Real quick, Ryan, 1 minute warning, have to get it in. What do I hate about MMA this week? I'm going to take it back. Not a promotion, but I hate all the fans that are bitching about Conor holding up the 145-pound division. Nah, homie, you got your perspective wrong. Conor's so far ahead of them, they need to catch up.
Whew. I got to say, I love MMA this week, but what do I hate about it? Media catch up. Make more stories, write more stories, cover more fighters. There's not enough stories out there. And number 2, I hate that Anderson